1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and you're familiar with this, but we'll just go here for reading circumstances. A couple things I want to just show you about the scripture. All scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But all scripture is not time sensitive. Okay. So there, I'm gonna tell you something about some of your gospels that I found out yesterday. That helps me. If we would calm down a little bit. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. Do it again. Breathe in, breathe out. That's funny. Not church, like church stuff. We be uptight about it, don't we? Get the word right. Just calm down for a second. Everybody say calm down. Come on. Calm down. I learned that anything you do and you're rigid and you're all wound up about it and you're super nervous about it, you're probably going to mess something up. You're probably going to come up with something that ain't something. You're going to come up with a word that ain't really a word that ain't come from nobody, right? Because you're just so wound up, right? Peace that passes all understanding, right? Keep your hearts in mind through Christ Jesus, right? Calm down. Put everything in. Just calm down. All right? And so if we would calm down, meditation. Everybody say meditation. Joshua 1, are you right there? Mm-hmm. Read it. All right, we're going to read together. Y'all ready? Ready, read. You know, I'm going to teach y'all a quick little something, right? Reading together is one of the number one ways to really pick out your fellowship and your consideration of others. I won't stay here too long, but it's the truth, though. It happens a lot in church. It happens, you know, in classes. Even if it could be two of you, you start going off, right? But we're reading together, then I have to listen to who I'm together with. I have to consider them if we're going to read together. I can read it. This book lost not part of my thoughts, meditate in that. I can do it fast like that and be done with it, but they ain't together. Right. And then who I done left behind? Y'all got it? We're going to try it again. Y'all ready? Ready? And I'm trying to give a count off. Ready? Read. Now, watch this. All right, I got to do this. Lord have mercy. All y'all go sit over there. You can leave your major stuff. I'm going to let you move back. But take your Bible. Take your Bible real quick. Just go sit over. Just sit next to somebody. Like go sit next to somebody, like just real quick. Just sit next to somebody. All right. Joshua. Everybody say Joshua. Joshua. Chapter 1. Verse 8. I'm gonna say it again, Joshua. Chapter 1. Verse 8. Say it again, Joshua. 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 Chapter 1. Verse 8. Ready? Read. You weren't ready. You ready? Are you ready? Read. Oh, Lord. Look, hold on. Every joint supply. Look at that. Ephesians 4. When you come together, you join together, you get closer together, right? You're so distant. We get closer together, we sound like one voice. You understand? This side note, this ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight, right? But do you get the understanding? Do you get the understanding of what separation does? Why separation was so important in the beginning to the enemy? Why he wanted them to feel separated from God, although they could never could be, because it was God in them? Do you all understand why the knowledge of good and evil, which are two separate things, and your understanding of that was so important to them so that you'd always be double-minded? Do you get it? Did you see how together you were reading, right? And didn't it make it easier? Huh? To read together, to read the same text together and be on one accord, almost sounding like one voice? Because of togetherness, right? This is what Jesus was talking about the whole time. It's all he was trying to do is bring us all. You get it? Edifying of the body. I don't have time to go there. Read again, ready to read. You know, they taught me that. They taught me that in singing. You know, because y'all, when you're singing, it don't matter how good you can sing. One of the ways you can tell somebody was a good singer if they can sing with other people. You get it? If you could, you know, there's alto, sopranos, tenors, first tenor, second tenor, bass, right? Right. I mean, all that fancy stuff, right? But they were. You can tell if you were a good singer. I remember some people that could sing. I'm talking about sing. But they couldn't sing with nobody else. They couldn't hold their part for nothing. We practice all night long. There's one little part you, that's all I need you to do, and you can't hit it. Because you're not prepared to sing with another. So now you're messing up the harmony. See, what harmony is three parts, but it becomes one sound. And it becomes the most beautiful thing ever. When you get three different sounds to come together and sound like one, and it makes a sound that you can't do it by yourself. It makes a sound that couldn't have been made other than those people getting together and making them. Then don't talk about the texture of voices. All of us have a different texture of voice. I do some recording, and you can see the recording, and I can sing the same note over and over again and sing it the same way, but all the sound waves come out different because every word that you say, every sound that comes out your voice has a different fingerprint. It's important, your words. I'm on the side, Jenny, but it's important that your words. Are y'all hearing me? And so, the togetherness of it, there's some things you're not going to get done without everybody else. Uh-oh. You know, he wasn't just giving instructions. Come sit on this side for a quick second. He wasn't just giving instructions when he was saying what the greatest command, but he was telling you how to win. Y'all get it? Are y'all understand what I'm saying? He wasn't just giving you, see, well, you got to find out where you're at. He wasn't just giving you some instructions on what you need to do, but he was telling you who you are. So when you start saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, that's you. That's who you are. You can't do nothing else but that. Anything that makes you do something else other than that, there's something trying to take you away from your identity because that's all you're made for. Loving your neighbor like you love yourself, that's who you are. That's not just something that you do, that's who you are. But the separation makes us think that this is an instruction and not a being. It's really giving you instructions on how to win. It's really giving you instructions. What's the point of our winning and everybody else lose? You heard somebody say, it's lonely at the top. You heard somebody say that? Yeah, because you ain't brought nobody with you. You didn't tell nobody else how to do it. You wanted to get to the top so bad that you didn't slow down enough to incorporate another. Are you understanding me? So now togetherness, it matters. This is a little side message. I don't know if this is a side message. It's just a part of the beginning of this one. But it makes a difference. Y'all can go back to your seats now. Y'all can go back. Unless y'all want to stay, it don't matter. Unless you can go back. Joshua 1:8. Now, beautiful thing is, if I say read now, because you've been so used to reading together, if I say ready to read now, you better do it again. So now when I send you out into the world, you're still going to function the same way. Amen. Right? Right? You ain't going to lose your mind and start reading a different way. You somewhere else ready? Read. The scripture is loaded. Let me give you context. It's in Joshua, right? Mm-hmm. Joshua's before Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So now there's before Jesus in the Bible, the biblical sense. Mm-hmm. All right, Jesus before all of them. Mm-hmm. Amen. But Joshua's written before the Gospels, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about this book of the law, we're not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're not talking about Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And we're not talking about Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Jude, and Philemon. And all. We're not talking about all those places. We're not talking about the book of Acts, because they hadn't been written yet. So this book was a certain book, the book of the, come on, this book of the what? The this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. But you're going to do what? Meditate. Everybody, breathe in. Breathe out. Calm down. Now, I ain't never seen nobody meditate in a rush. I ain't never seen nobody meditate in a frenzy. Right? I've never seen a person meditate while they were doing a bunch of other things. Meditation calls for a couple of characteristics in you. Calm, peace, focus. Are y'all seeing me? You got to block everything else out. A lot of times, the only way you can do that is by sitting in a quiet place. Meditate. I was talking to an apostle yesterday. He said, you know, today, matter of fact, he was talking to me and some other guy. He said, you know, you really can't, you're really not going to get everything out of the word until you meditate it. You really can't. You can read it all day long, but you got to meditate it. And he said, a meditator squeeze all the juice out of it. So breathe in, breathe out. It's not a meditation class, but I'm just saying breathe out. Calm down when you're reading these scriptures. You ain't going to get nowhere trying to conquer the Bible. You don't get no badges or no merits of honor because you read so many chapters. You know, like the Boy Scouts to get an honor. No, you don't get no badge. No badge. Well, I read 12 chapters a day. So what? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? You remember that? The same principle. Have you ever read scriptures and didn't know what you read? Hey, come on, answer me. You read through the whole chapter and you don't remember nothing that you read but that one scripture in there that you memorized when you was a little kid. Right? So what benefit does that do? Right? This book of law should not depart from my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How often? Ooh. You want my days and my nights? I gotta do it day and night. How I'm gonna meditate day and night? Lord Jesus. I gotta go somewhere tomorrow during the day. Y'all get what I'm saying? Meditate, right? And it's probably not a, well, I really don't care. It may not be a good thing in certain situations, what I'm about to say, or certain expectations of me. But there are times, I just fell in love with it. With the word? Yeah, I just fell in love with it. I'm not special. The furthest thing from it. That's not the point. That's not what it is. I don't have a special gifting for the word. No, nobody has a special gifting, a special knack for the word of God. No. It's just, do you fall in love or not? Right? You don't have a special gifting to be a husband. You just fell in love. You get it? It wasn't like I was called to be God, gifting me the gift. No, ain't no gift. You spent time. No, he said a lot of time. A lot of time. You must have took him through. Yeah, hey, take too much time in, right? A lot of meditation. Right? But before you know it, I gotta use this example, but before you know it, I'm just gonna use it. Before you know it, your concentration turned into a consistent meditation. I was focused, I got a winner. Then you couldn't get off your mind, and now when you're supposed to be doing other things, you're thinking about. You done spent so much time, the Living Bible book says you read it like a love story. You done spent so much time that this moment you're supposed to be thinking about this, but you can't get this off your mind. Now, when we talk about, you know, other connections or different things, sometimes they can get you in trouble because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do at your job or whatever else you allowed to do, right? But when it comes down to the word, it'll make everything. It'll probably increase what you're trying to do. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So you just gotta fall in love with it. The only way you can fall in love with it It's not love at first sight. Because the first thing you saw in the Bible might have been something that scared you. I don't know the first, anybody remember the first scripture they remember? Like, no, you don't know. I know the first way I learned God was, and it wasn't from nobody in particular. The first thing I learned from God was that he gonna whoop me if I don't get it together. Right? You're right, come on, y'all knew it. The first thing you learned, don't sin. You knew more about sin than you knew about the love of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If you, come on, y'all grew up like anything like I grew up. Then you knew what not to do before you knew what to do. I was telling about the law, the book of the law. See, the law. Remember he said what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh is Romans 8, right? What the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. Remember Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. I came to give personality to what the law could not give personality to. This book of the law, but we're talking about the book of the law. But see, what the law did was dealt with the hands, but it couldn't deal with the heart. So I gave a perfect example in my last class that, you know, thou shalt not kill. And I'm sure that, like I said, it curbed the murder rate. I'm sure it did a pretty good job curbing the murder rate, right? But it couldn't do nothing for me when I see all red. When there's a murderable offense in my mind and I'm ready to murder. You get it? You get it? I don't know if you've ever been there. I have. Right? Where it's to a place now where, like, it's about to go down right now because you shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Now, what do I do with that now? I ain't no, Montreal, now you know the law. I don't care what the law said. I don't even care what the law said. I'm going to take my lick because you shouldn't have done it. Right. And I done blacked out. I done blacked out. I don't see nothing but red now. And it's about to happen. Ain't nobody going to stop me because you shouldn't have done what you did. What does the law do with that? What happens here? What is the Savior? Oh, thank God for Jesus. What is the Savior here? Are y'all getting me? So now what the law cannot do that is weak through the flesh. Well, the law tells me what not to do, but what does it tell me? It don't tell me what to do. Okay, so if I'm not supposed to kill, but I'm ready to kill right now. I got it on my mind. I'm ready to kill. What am I supposed to do with this? Then you got Jesus. Yeah, he hit you on one cheek. You get it? Huh? Now he gives personality. Now these weren't scriptures that he was reading his personality. He said, say in your word, do it like this, but I say do it this. Well, y'all get what I'm saying? The personality has to be injected in the principle. You cannot go through this word and try to find a bunch of principles and not partake of the personality. This is why Jesus is so important. This is why John starts talking about the word made flesh. This is why it's so important. Because the word wasn't made flesh. We never hear that the word is made flesh. We never hear that he's the living word. If we never hear this, then we have an excuse to not be anything else but what we are. But now our example lives. He's the living word, and you are too, if you allow yourself to be. Are y'all with me? So now, this book of law is not the part of mine. Let's go back to Joshua 1. But thou shalt meditate. So now you have to spend the time. You have to spend the time. There is no loophole. There is no bypass. There is no shortcut. There is no quick way to do it. There is no teleporting to the end of Revelation. No, you have to spend the time with the word. How often? All day and all night? Well, what about the nights when you're fearful because you don't know who you are? Right, you ever had one of those? You ever had one of those nights where something come up and you're supposed to react one way, but you reacted a whole nother way? You're supposed to be solid in faith, courage, and know, because it's all the stuff that we, but you panicked. You started calling everybody, are you, right? Because you ain't know who you was on that night. But if you meditate then, are you understanding me? See, what you really don't understand, and this was the beginning. I ain't always love it, right? Like I ain't always, and I ain't say I know all of it, but it's an ongoing romance. Like it's an ongoing, like the dates don't get old. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like I thought I knew. Then it's like, oh, you popped this on me, right? You know what I'm saying? Like it's an ongoing. Oh man, and I'm yearning to know more about who that is, because that's me, but then it's you too. Y'all get what I'm saying? Like, listen, I'm trying not to talk in riddles. I'm trying, but it may sound like, I'm getting to know who that is, because that's really me, and that's him. Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's you. So now I can love you like I love myself, and you can do the same thing for me, because we all fell in love with. Are y'all understanding that? And so day and night, I hear these songs that I've been thinking about you all day. I've been thinking about you all night. A lot of times they lying. Right? But just, come on, I stick with the scripture. I read it like the love letter that it is. So what God has done is God has started from the beginning of time, even with the bumps and the bruises and the mistakes and the mess ups. Right? He just wrote this long love letter. I mean, the mess up is the reason that you really see the love. You know, I found out, and this is a personal experience, I didn't have a scripture for this. But maybe there's a scripture for it, but I didn't have a scripture for it when the time I heard it. But I found out that the time then when you're the most unlovable, when you find out God really loves you. At the time when you done something that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, He shouldn't love me right now, right? Like he shouldn't be loving me today. No, today, no. He's got a right not to love me. I said, how long with that? I don't know what this is. Like, what is this? What is this? Because I know you need to be mad at me right now. Like, I know that this ain't a lovable. Like, I know. But then for some reason, without me saying a word, he's still loving on me. I had God tell me some one time I messed up royally. I just messed up, and I just was, you know, my mind was gone. And I woke up, the Lord started talking to me. First thing in the morning, it broke me. He started talking to me. No, listen to me. Now, what I learned, sin separated me from the Lord. Then we learned that. Mm-hmm. Come on, amen. Sin separates you from God. But the Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? And the next one, he started talking to me. And he really wasn't talking to me about that. He's like, give me revelation. I said, I don't know what this is. And the goodness of God led to repentance. Not the point, I was like, you going to be that good to me that I know right now that you probably shouldn't be talking to me, because I'm probably not the best person to talk to get that's how I felt. And he talked to me, and I was like, man, I'm sorry, man. Like, I ain't gonna do that no more, right? Because it's just the love. Like, it's breathing, and everything it says is love, even in the correction. It's saying nothing but love. The love that we look for is here. And he keeps talking to us, and over. Jesus is still teaching. He ain't stopped preaching. He's still teaching right now. He's still doing it. And if we would just take the time with it, with the word, not treat it like an estranged abuser. Treat it like the word is always telling you something, telling you what to do, always got his foot on your neck. No, that's not the word. That's not the word I know. If anybody taught it that way, they taught it the wrong way. Y'all know we've learned the word as an abuser, and as a controller, huh? No, that's not the way. That's not the way Jesus taught it. That wasn't the plan. If we would take the time and meditate, we'll see the love story that he's written from the beginning, and you all through it. You all through the whole Bible. You. Nuh-uh, because I was born in 1982. I don't care what year you was born. I didn't ask you that. You all through that. Before you was formed in the belly, he said, I knew you. Huh? All before all that. You written all the way through that. All the successes and all the mistakes, you'll see yourself sometime. Huh? You ever read something and you ain't want to claim it, but you had to claim it? You ever read something and it was like, well, that was me right there. But it wasn't a good part, right? Like it wasn't like the holy oil sacrament or anything like that. It was like, I was lying. I go, you know what I'm saying? I go, But love. And if you take the time to spend the time with it, can I use you again? Okay, so what Calvin was talking about, Sister Deidre, right? Sister Deidre was one of a kind. She's one of a kind. He said, yeah, amen, answer me right, amen. You answer me right, I'll dap you up for that one. You answer me right, you're doing good, all right, just keep doing good. All right, so, one of a kind, right? So, it wasn't just, she's just another woman, so I'm just gonna treat her like, just like a woman, I'm just gonna, cause all women are the same, right? No, it's one of the kind. I had to take. He better answer me right there. I had to calm down and spend time and see what was going on. See the difference. See the details. I had to find out. You know, like, is she in my age range? Right? Where she come from? What was her background? What she believe in? All those different details was her book. Y'all don't see where I'm going yet, huh? See all the different details. Where she come from? What her family like? Did I know her sister? And her sister was crazy, right? Like, come on, y'all know. Come on, all right? You have to know the timelines.
Right.
You have all those details. Make up the book.
Right.
Right. You can't just read. Oh, it's a book, so take a look at that. Well, she a woman, so she gonna do this and this and this and this. No, because everything ain't the same all the time. The details. Right? Make the difference. And I have to understand the details in order to read the book properly. Can I get an amen? I have to understand the details in order to read the book properly. I can't just read it. The Bible is a collection of books. I remember the word Bible is not in the Bible. Remember I told y'all that? All right. Holy Bible is not in the Holy Bible. Okay, so Bible comes from the Latin word, bibliotheca. All them words just mean, it means a library. So these are a library of books that were put together to give you a semblance of what the trail from the beginning to now is. All right, nobody said, okay, all right, we're going, what is it before? Joshua, what, Deuteronomy? So all right, you just finished Deuteronomy, now let's write Joshua. Nobody said that. You were talking about Joshua. And that was the book. It makes a difference when you think of it that way, don't you? Sometimes so don't crucify me. The enemy, deception is this. Deception is taking something that looks like it's supposed to be, right, and giving you a counterfeit of that, right? Like it wouldn't be deception if it didn't look right. There's a way that seeming right to a man, right? Like, but the inner of his death, right? Like, but there's a way that looks right. There are things that he even tried to use when he was tempting Jesus. But don't they say that if you do this, you can call angels, right, and they ain't gonna let you. He's quoting the scriptures. He know the Bible better than you. But now he got it memorized. He knew exactly what scripture he was going to when you coughed. Right? Sometimes Holy Bible can be a problem to you because you're not paying attention no more. So now you're in there looking for these holy scripts and you don't look for the personality. You get it? You're in there looking for these holy principles, and God bless it that they're in there, but you don't inject the person of what was going on. Solomon, can we live by the book a little bit? Can we live by the book a little bit? Solomon, we love Solomon because when he thousand burnt offerings. You remember that? Because he took over and thousand burnt offerings because he thought, you know, and we don't know what that is. We thought that was just thousand out. Nope. Trust me. It was days and days of work. All right? But thousand burnt offerings. So he go to sleep and had a dream. God come to him in a dream, right? And said, what you want? Here you go. Blank check. What do you want? You can have anything that you want right now, anything that you ask. God come in your room and say, whoa, what you want? Whoa. Now you got a question to answer, partner. Right? And Solomon said, I need you to give me wisdom to lead your people. Y'all understand the concept? Like, he asked for something for the people. Amen. One day we're going to get that. One day we're going to understand, one day in my lifespan that we're going to understand that it's about, that the power that you have on the inside of you is about somebody else. Yep. One day you're going to understand. And we wake up every morning doing the same self-deserving stuff that we do. But one day, Doug, that we're going to understand that the only thing that's going to get the power working in you is side journey. So Solomon, anything you want. You could ask for anything. They give me wisdom for your people. And we, Solomon, you a beast for that. What kind of power? He had wisdom before he had wisdom. Solomon, man, oh, I don't know if I could have done that, man. He's such a wise man. But then if you really understand what's going on, he wasn't a man. He was a little boy. So when I was 12, and I had any kind of sense. Hey, God, listen. You know, Dad gone. He done told me I got to do this. I don't know what to do. Can you tell me what to do? It's wisdom. Right? Yeah, that is not, I don't know, grown. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what you'd ask any otherwise because you think you're smart already. So, God, this is what you do. Give me the neighborhood. Give me the neighboring armies. And I could take over. So we just started asking for all kinds of stuff, right? God, if you give me that kingdom and that kingdom and that kingdom, and I could take, give me the whole world, God. You weren't even ready for the world. It killed you. But if you don't know the context.
Right.
So you don't know the detail. You don't know the detail for that response. Now it makes a little bit more sense, don't it? Huh? Oh, see, you got to read the details. You can't just read it because it's a book and try to grab a bunch of principles out. You got to read the details. And it becomes what the book is. You're looking for the holy principle. So now, you want to break bread for 5,000. Because you know they got hungry people out here, right? But in one version of the gospel says it explains it. Another version of the gospel, you have to realize that he had sent his disciples out to preach. Are y'all with me? And they came back, they were tired. So he said, look, y'all come out here with me. Let's go out here to the wilderness, get away from all these people because the people are following them too. Let's get away from these people so you can go ahead and rest because you ain't know it's going to be like that. Anybody ever preached before, you know? Anybody ever preached? Sometimes we think preaching is easy. Just get up there talking. No, no, no. It's like doing 1,000 crunches. Stomach be tight. It's nonstop. And you got people pulling on you. How many people in the room, they all pulling on you. You can feel it. It develops, you need stamina for that. So you're like, hey, y'all need to come out here and go rest. You ain't know it's going to be like that, huh? Think about the rest. These people still follow them out to the resort in the wilderness. You get it? Mm-hmm. So now we're in a place where they can't go back. He wasn't just breaking bread to be fancy or because he just wanted to show, I got the man, I got the power. Right? The context. Right? Then you realize that the reason he was able to multiply, the power came for the people. God ain't got to just multiply your stuff just because you want your stuff multiplied. Multiply means he ain't got to do that. For what? Why should I multiply you? Why should I do exceedingly abundantly? Why, all this stuff you asking for, why should I do that? Who all are going to benefit? You get it? You get the context. You even see there's certain customs. Like I give y'all a good one. Y'all want some more? You want a good one? I found out that Luke, the book of Luke, right? Y'all know Luke? Luke, they wrote Luke. Did you know Luke wrote 1/3 of the New Testament? You know that one? Me neither. I ain't know till yesterday, right? And he wrote the whole book, he wrote the whole book of Acts. Right? I ain't trying to be deep. I found out yesterday. Listen, like, what's today? Monday? Yesterday. And I didn't find it myself. Somebody told it to me. I'm gonna talk like it's mine though. Right? Look, wrote the book of Acts. Paul wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. Luke did too. Here's the kicker. You ready? Luke was a Gentile. Who you ain't know? He's a Gentile. He wasn't a part of the Jewish custom. Paul was a part of the Jewish custom. Paul was killing Christians because they wasn't doing what the Jews were supposed to do. Y'all remember that? Luke goes on and begins to write, Luke is a little bit longer than the other ones, ain't it? Right, and it's a little bit more detail. And the book of Luke tells a story about when Jesus met Peter, and he said, launch out into the deep. Let me use your boat first. Remember that? Then he said, all right, now launch out. And we've been talking all night, ain't taking nothing. Never let thy word let down the net. Close the greater multitude of the fish, right? And then Peter said, get away from me, I'm a sinful man, right? And he said, come on, I'm gonna make you fishers of men, right? Mm-hmm. Matthew and Mark just said, Jesus walked up, saw them casting nets and said, follow me, and they follow. Right. You get it?
Right?
So it's more detail, right? But the reason Luke was more detailed, watch this. I learned this. The reason Luke was more detailed, because Luke was a Gentile, and he wanted to write it so that the Gentiles could understand. Because it wasn't really, in customs. Mm-hmm. Come on, black people. Come on, y'all know y'all got certain customs. We got customs that all of us know. Like certain things in the house. Like don't be inviting nobody over here without me knowing. Right? Who you talking to, right? Y'all, right? Right? Like y'all, we got certain customs that go along. And you won't know. You can try to explain it all day long, but you won't know till you live through it.
Hello.
Right? Like it's something that you had to be entrenched in the culture.
Right.
Come on, Doug, you know that. But like you know it. I know what your mama saying. I know what my mama saying. They probably gonna say the same thing. Yeah. But like somebody else might not know what's going on until they're entrenched in the culture and catch one of them upside the head. Amen. Old me, one of the two, right? You won't know. And so Jewish customs were the same way. Even the Hebrew language, you know, like the Hebrew alphabet, I'm trying to learn a little Hebrew. I don't know. We're going to see. Thank you, Lord. But there's a couple alphabets that have no sound. They just. But they be in the writing and people hear them when people talking, but they're not there. There's no sound. I started reading that thing, I said, boy, this is going to be a tough one for me. They say, all the consonants, but these two have no sound. I was like, Right, but it was even in the Hebrew when you hear the talk, it's a tone. It's a feeling behind the tone and the emotion in the moment of the time that makes the word everything that it is. You understand what I'm saying? So now the Jewish custom, it's not easy to pick up because they've been growing up in this, right? And technically, if you was a Gentile, you'd be behind. If we had to, so it made it, there were certain things that was going on, like even when the woman poured it all on Jesus, people didn't understand how important that was. People didn't understand how important the oil was because it was a passed down heirloom from generation to generation. And that the way they made those bottles in those times, there was no opening and you pour it out. You had to break it. That means you had to do something. It had to be precious to you. And you had to wait for a certain moment that it was important enough to use this oil because there was no, and there's no going back. Customs. Y'all get me? So now Luke writes it in a certain way so that those that weren't a part of the custom could understand what was customary and why they did it that way. You get it? So they begin to write the translation. It starts making me understand me. Because now there's a way that I translate. Right? That somebody's going to hear me. Not taking from the principle and the basic principles of what it is, but there's a way that I'm going to say it and I'm going to be it. That's going to translate to somebody that probably couldn't heard it another way.
Right.
You too. Mm-hmm. Y'all get it?
Right.
But you won't know that about you until you begin to read about you that way. You get it? Stop reading the Bible like a holy plaque. It don't take nothing away from the holiness of it. In all thy getting, get what? What the same Bible says, in all your getting, get what? Understand. You need to understand the motions and the moments of the time that things were said. I started reading context in historical books to find out what certain things were and why they were that way. See, I didn't know what crucifixion was. I knew about the nails, and I knew about the story, and we all start crying when they start talking about it, right? But I knew about that, but I didn't really know that it was really humiliation. It was more about the humiliation. It was about the humiliation. It was about saying, now watch Jesus. You ready for this? Now watch Jesus. Are y'all ready for this? Now watch Jesus, the sinless lamb, the one that was, there was no miracle that he did that was for himself, but it was always for others. Everything about Jesus was about helping another person. You cannot find one self-deserving thing in Jesus. All right, keep going, right? Right? He's healing people's children. He's raising people's children from the dead. He's healing blind eyes. He's forgiving sins. He's telling people don't condemn. He's saving people's lives from getting stoned, right? He's keeping people from judging other people, right? All these things are happening. His whole life is full of this. And not only is he doing this, but he's preaching this. His words match it with his hands. And everything's coming together. And he's doing some of the most holy things that could ever been done on the face of the earth. And then they take him and call him a rebel. And they take him and tell him and say that he's broken the law. The one that came to fulfill the law was crucified because they said he broke the law. And so now we take him down this road, and I don't want to go into the details of the beating and the spearing and the whooping and the crown of thorns, but all those things were significant. We preach them all kind of different ways, but they were significant because they were for shame. They stripped him naked in front of the crowd and begin to beat him. And probably the people that were there that was yelling, give us Barabbas, were some of the people that he healed their children, but they didn't want to believe. Humiliation, Doug. All your friends rolled out. The ones that said they're going to be there denied and started cussing. Said they ain't know you. One of your boys just gave you up to the army for some silver. Right? Then he went and killed himself. Now you got betrayal and death and mourning that you're dealing with. Because they said that was his friends. They said Jesus called the disciples. He wanted them to be with him. Peter gone, and we don't know what the other one's excuses was. We just know they was at the crib after. Right? All of them are scared, thinking they're going to come get them. Understanding what's going on. You see, you have to understand. See, Judas, it needed to be done. But see, Judas really, 30, them pieces of silver wasn't nothing. That wasn't going to change the world. But Judas was trying to snitch. Judas said, listen, don't kill me. Because see, if there's a rebellion and you're the leader of rebellion, I'm getting you and everybody with you. Because if I don't get everybody with you, then I don't kill the rebellion. So now you're on the line for walking with Jesus. Judas said, listen, I know where he at, I'll tell you, listen. And obviously didn't know what Jesus looked like. Right? We live by the book, ain't we? Because obviously didn't know, because he said, well, and maybe a lot of them look familiar, look similar. He's the one I'm going to kiss. That's going to be the one you need to take. They ain't know what them, the Roman souls, they ain't care. They was living Roman life. They ain't know what y'all call me down here to get this man. We don't even know what he looked like. You get what I'm saying? He didn't deliver them up. Now your boys delivered you up. Everybody gone. All these people that you fed, I would have thought they'd have come rioting in. Mm-hmm. Let him go. We talk all that noise about what we'd have done. Yeah, but the disciples wouldn't even show. Because they were scared after. They wouldn't even show. All the time Jesus said, you're gonna tear down the temple in 3 days, I'm going to build it back up. He kept on telling them. And they still scared. They didn't know. So now you got to deal with that. 3 years of ministry and manifestation. I don't know how much more you need to manifest. And you still don't believe. How long am I going to be with you? Let me keep on saying that. What you mean you don't know what's the way? You got to deal with all that, man. Y'all see, we don't know what Jesus went through. We know the nice little quick little story. And he's my savior. Amen. I receive. No, you need to know this. You can. The fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him you know, the power of the resurrection, and then the fellowship of his suffering. Right? But you can't, because you can't know him. All the power of the resurrection without knowing the fellowship. So now it's humility. So now crucifixion says that you are the scum of the earth. They say it's not only the worst kind of murder, because they would kill them all kind of ways, right? But it was the most humiliating. It drags on. It just drags on. And then when they finish dragging you on and making a spectacle of you and making fun of you and calling you out your name and doing all these different things, and none of those things you deserve now. Nobody jumps in and say, that ain't him. Nope. But just, and they keep doing these things. Then after they finish doing all that, they hang you up on the thing and make you sit out there for some days as a spectacle. By nails. You get it? They humiliate you. Then what's more humiliating is I could have called angels and wiped the world out. You know what? Forget all this. Everybody about to die. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, we'd have been Terminator. We'd have been Terminator. Nope. All y'all about to get it. You know what? I don't need a legion. Just send me one. Me and him about to tear it down right quick. Y'all thought y'all had me, huh? I'd have got off that cross. I'd have took that nail down. Pow, 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 pow. You thought you had me. I'd have been flying. You thought you had me, didn't you? Don't run now. Me and you, right? Amen. Right? We'd have got off. Y'all say what y'all want. I ain't got there yet. I'm working on it. I'm working on it with all my heart. We'd have got off, though. I'm still seeing red sometimes. You get it? We'd have got off. Like, hey, listen. Nope. Y'all not doing this today. You are not going to do this, right?
Not there, right?
Yeah, right. He could have called him. They had no offense. They had nothing on him. Humble as he is, you take that lick. You get the context. You really get what's going on now. You really get why there was such a price that was paid. It wasn't just because blood was spilled on the ground. Because you didn't spill blood on the ground. It wasn't just that. It was the way. I am the way. Oh, you ain't see that way. You ain't see that way, though, huh? When you say I'm the way, the truth, and the life, we ain't see that way as the way, huh? And it's all of this that makes the price that's being paid so much more important. Context. Everybody say context. Context. Come on, say it again. Context. Come on, say it again. Context. How many things do you take out of context? How many scriptures do you grab and try to smear them all over your problem and you have no context? And if you get a little context, it may give you a little contact to what's really going on. Are y'all understanding me? So the devil like it when you deep. He like it when you super spiritual. He like it when you, he like that. He like that because you on his team. He like that. You flighty. You ain't paying attention to what's going on. Go read about your Jesus and tell me when you saw him closing his eyes and floating and the cloud comes and says, Jesus. No, he was very, very focused. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly how to say what he needed to say whenever he needed to say it. He was always right there in the midst of the word to who he was. You get it? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can be flighty in the word and you don't understand what's going on. You realize that the reason I was talking about Joshua, right? Joshua was not Savior, was he? But Joshua got a whole book. The reason he started talking about Joshua, it wasn't really so many principles. He's trying to show you a person and then show them how they walked in the principles and how they walked out the principle. Moses was great, but he didn't go into the promised land. Now, why did Moses go into the promised land? disobedience. He lost his temper. And is disobedience, lost his temper, and I'll give you another one. You ready? He didn't hear clear instructions. And he was stuck in an old way. Moses couldn't take him into the promised land. Joshua had to do it. I prove it to you. You ready? Okay. Ready? Strike the rock. That's why he didn't go in, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because he struck the rock. Mm-hmm. When the Lord told him to speak to the rock, right? But striking the rock wasn't totally wrong because he struck the rock before that. Y'all go read it. Go read it. Just go read it. Yeah, because God told him. Strike the rock and the water came out the rock when he struck it. So we didn't follow the principle. And that's what we do in church. We say, oh, we keep striking the rock for years. Nah, keep hitting the rock. That's how it works. Keep hitting the rock. That's gone. That's gone. Now our hands free. Tell you. Can I take you? I'm trying to make you like me now. God said, let there be, and things started happening. He didn't put no hands in nothing. So now I'm trying to make you like me. I'm trying to take you next level. Now speak to the rock. It's going to yield water. But Moses could not get off of the old way. And he went using the former principle and couldn't go into the new place. Y'all get it? Man, the Bible great, man. The Bible is The Bible is great. You gotta spend a little time with it, right? Amen. Spend time with the Bible. Spend time with yourself, right? All right, and that's a good one, ain't it? Yeah. Now you get to know yourself better. Know who you really are.